part 4. Now, next week, we'll be going back to Hebrews. So if you want to start reading or looking ahead where we're going to be going, we'll be starting with Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. So that's where we'll start out next week. But this week, we're in Matthew. As again, we're doing stewardship. Now again, y'all thought I was, I talked on the first week about being prepared. Second week about hypocrisy and stewardship. About the fact that if we say we're a Christian, then we actually need to be followers of Christ in doing it. And not just putting a facade. Last week I talked about the humility, not taking the aspect of, I am a servant of the Lord. And guess what? Everybody's a servant of the Lord. It's not a special position. Everybody who accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has got the same job. Servant. Okay? Have an attitude of humility. We don't have the power and authority. God does. It's His. This week, I want to test out this phrase. Well done, good and faithful servant. And if you look in your bulletin, you see a question mark there when you look at that. And that's there because, are we going to hear that? Is that what we will hear? Is that when we come to heaven? Well done, good and faithful servant. Many of us hope that's what we hear. Now, y'all thought I was going to be talking about this thing. And this stuff. I'm not. I've talked about it in years past. But it is by no means the most important part of stewardship. Stewardship is about being that faithful servant. Look at Matthew chapter 25. We're going to look at verses 14 through 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of the servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has been given more, for everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, that you speak to us and you tell us what it is you would have for us to do, that we don't have to guess. That through reading your word, you lay it out for us. You tell us your will. Lord, we pray right now that you would open our heart to your word and your will. That you would show us how to apply these words this day to our hearts and lives. That we might be better servants. That we too might one day hear good and faithful servant. Lord, I pray for myself this morning that as I come and preach your word, that your anointing would be upon me, that I might speak your word in such a way that every person here would be encouraged and blessed, that each one would be drawn closer to you, and your name would be the one lifted up and glorified. We pray all these things in Jesus' precious, most holy name. Amen. A well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we all want to hear. At least me. But let's take a look at what's entrusted to these servants, what's asked of them. How do you get that? Get addressed in that manner. Well done, good and faithful servant. First off, we see that each one of these servants No laughing, Will. Each one of these servants is given by his master a specific amount according to his abilities. The responsibility isn't more than they can handle. It's what they can handle. What is asked of each servant is that they do what their master wants of them. They know their master's will. They don't have to guess. They're aware of what it is he wants and what his expectations are. Two of them go out and do exactly what the master wanted. The third, instead of acting in faith, he acted in fear. Being faithful isn't always about success. We see the success of the two that acted in faith here. But that's not always necessarily so, is it? We see sometimes those who have acted in faith and have fallen flat or have made a mistake. They thought they were doing the right thing and they ended up that they were doing the wrong thing. They acted in faith, but maybe while they acted in faith, they acted under their own guidance instead of the master's expressed book of directions. Good example of that is David. Anybody ever hear of King David? Guy, a man after God's own heart. Check out Acts 13 what? Can't read that. 13:22. Gotta get me the rope. Do this. Okay. Anyhow, as We must now take a 2-minute break while the pastor plays with his new presence. I can't do this without the glasses on. See, he acted in faith, but it didn't work. It happens like that sometimes. David did that. He was going to take the ark, carry the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem. And you know what? He messed up. He put it on a cart with an oxen carrying it, put some priests along the side and said, okay, make sure it doesn't fall off. And they hit a rough spot. Somebody touched it and the guy died. And, well, whose fault was it? Well, it was David's fault. David messed up. David didn't die. The other guy did. Why? Because he touched, put his hand upon the Ark of the Covenant. Wouldn't happen if they'd been carrying the Ark the way they were instructed to carry it, which is with the poles. But did God ultimately hold that against David? He paid the penalty for making the mistake. But did God remove his blessing from David? No. Because he was seeking to follow and be obedient. He was seeking to be that faithful servant. And that's what we're told to do. To follow our Lord. The reward was for being faithful. It wasn't that they received or that they had made more for the master, though that's what the master wanted. The reward was for being faithful. The same blessing was given from the master to both, or similar, if you would, reward was given to both servants that were faithful. Because they did what they knew their master wanted. So how can we be faithful? How do we know what to do? Might I suggest some light reading? It's really not bad. There's some wonderful programs out there that, you know, you can read through the Bible in 1 year, or you can just read 5 minutes, you know, 5-10 minutes a day. But acquaint yourself with it. Read what's in there, and you'll find that God tells you exactly what it is He expects and wants. He does indeed give us a command that the tithe is to come into the storehouse. The tithe, that's 10%. That's not 6%. That's not 12%. It's 10%. That's what tithe means, 10%. So the tithe is to come into the storehouse, and that's mine. And that's supposed to be the first 10%. He tells us that. He tells us that we're supposed to go ahead and not give up the gathering together of the saints. That we're supposed to come together. He tells us what we're supposed to do is obey Him. John chapter 14, a couple places. Verses 21 and 23 are the ones that really jump out at me. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. 23, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Being faithful. It's about being obedient. If we know our master's will and we don't do it, are we being faithful? No. We're being faithless. We're not following through with what we know our master's wants. There's another word for that. It's called rebellion. Rebellion. Also known as sin. One of these days, in the hopefully not too distant future. I'll get used to this. The problem with the servant that took the master's resources and hid them was because he knew that that's not what his master wanted. But he hoped to placate him by seeking to protect or hide the resource. But he wasn't even smart about it, as the master pointed out. Why didn't you at least take it and deposit it at the bank and get some simple interest on it? No, use your head. Don't act in fear. It's the acting in fear of running away from God where this guy ran into his problem. He was disobedient because he knew what his master wanted. Instead of trusting that his master might be forgiving if he made a mistake, what we see is, as we look at Scripture, is that our Master is ultimately very forgiving of our mistakes. Very forgiving. How many times are we to forgive? 7 times 7. 7 times 70. Keep my 7. You know, a lot. We are supposed to be forgiving one another. And God expects that of us. He does not expect things of us that we're not capable of. God is so much more than we are, and abilities are so much more. How many times do you think He's going to forgive us? As many times as we ask for His forgiveness, as many times as we are truly repentant, He will forgive us. In fact, He's already forgiven us of all our sins that we will ever make, as soon as we've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. All done. All we had to do was say, I am truly sorry, Lord, for not following You, for not doing Your will, for not being faithful. Please help me to be faithful. And you know what He does. He rewards us accordingly? Yes. We're not all the same. I don't want to be treated the same as my sisters. They're different than me. I don't want to be treated the same as even Ed, who's got people calling him back after he's retired and say, hey, we're going to give you a job. We're going to throw money at you. He's like, oh, I don't want it. No, you have to come. And I'm calling up and I say, no, Ed, I want you. Everybody wants Ed. Even Peggy. But I still don't want to be treated like Ed. I want to be treated like Bruce. Because that's who I am. And God does. He will reward me according to my abilities. And what I have done with the resources He has put in my hands. Part of those resources are you people. Scary thought, isn't it? But that's the truth. He expects each of us to do His will, not our own. That's what faithful is. And as long as we are attempting to be faithful, God is going to be forgiving. As long as we are attempting to follow God's Word. I say attempting because, you know what? You and I, we're not perfect. We cannot perfectly follow God's will and Word. We try. And with the Holy Spirit working within us and conforming us more and more daily into the closer to the image of Christ, we can do better tomorrow than we did today. But the essence of stewardship is recognizing that first, servants. Second, Everything is God's. Third, I'm supposed to do what God wants with His stuff. That's it. All done. You don't need to know anything more about stewardship other than the fact that our Master is not unforgiving. He is forgiving. And if as long as we are attempting to do what it is He wants us to do, I believe we'd do better. Now, I can't give you scriptural reference for this. Now, this one is one where Pastor Bruce is going out on his limb. Okay? Read Scripture, tell me if I'm wrong. If you don't agree with me, it's okay. Okay, have I got that all understood that this isn't Scripture I'm talking here now. But I believe that if that third servant had taken that money and lost it in the attempt to seek to fulfill his master's wish, his will, the master would have been much more forgiving than he was when the man sought just not to do his will. Sought to avoid it. I'll be lazy. I'm just going to hide it. And, you know, he might be mad at me, but, you know, at least I didn't lose it. I think God would be much more forgiving towards the servant who said, you know, I tried, but I lost it. I made an investment. I thought it was a good one. But, you know, the caravan that I invested in, it got robbed and everybody was killed and no money came back. I'm sorry. I think if the servant had tried. Because the problem that we have here, this is why I think this, besides the fact that our Lord is forgiving, is, well, no wonder I can't find it. I'm in John. Back to 25. Okay. You wicked, lazy servant. He called him wicked and lazy. Why was he liquid? Please, Lord, give me strength. Why was he wicked? He was wicked because he was disobedient. Why was he disobedient? Because he knew what his master's will was and he didn't do it. Why was he lazy? Because he didn't do the work. He didn't try. He didn't even try. I know that myself as a parent, I get much more angry at my children when they were little, when they didn't even try. I can't do it. He didn't even try. I can't do it. Yes, you can. You know, I did that, tried that a couple times. It didn't work so well. I got in trouble too. When they tried and something happened, you know, I've had them try to clean something and, oops, something got broke. You know, we were washing the dishes and we broke a glass. Okay, so you broke the glass. Did you clean up? Did anybody get hurt? No. Okay. But they were washing the dishes, which I wanted them to do. Now, if you come home and find dirty dishes, I'm like, why didn't you wash this? Well, I was afraid I was going to break one. Oh, give me a break. We've had this discussion. Word for word. Close. Now, if that's the way I feel towards my children, I'm human. I'm sinful. I'm far less than perfect. Ask Donna again if you don't believe me. And God is so much better than I am. I do believe that God would even be forgiving. He says He is. I take Him at His word. Oops. We had a lot of people talk up front and now we've gone pretty late. So we're done. Nothing more, really much more to say about stewardship at this point in time. Not this year. We'll talk some more about it next year. And as the Scriptures, whatever passage we're working our way through, as we work our way through Hebrews, if it touches on stewardship, we'll address it. But just remember that stewardship means that God is in control. And being faithful means doing His will. If you want to be here, well done, good and faithful servant, remember that you're the servant. And remember to do what it is your master wants you to do. And you know what it is because you have two things telling you. You've got the Holy Scriptures, His Word, and you've got the Holy Spirit residing within you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your truth. We thank You that we don't have to guess, but that we do know Your will. Lord, help us to be faithful. That is, to put Your will before our own, that in all things we might be doing them for Your glory, and not for our own. That everything we do, no matter what it is, how big or small, we recognize that it reflects on You. Help us to be good stewards of all You put in our care. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand as we close.